Welcome to Kind on Mind, the podcast with me, Stephen. Today, I'm joined by Steph, who is a 32-year-old based in Northamptonshire and works in further education. Steph's life demonstrates endless amounts of creative expression as an artist, in both personal and professional life, through everyday passion, music taste, and style, as someone who isn't a stranger to a piercing or a tattoo. Steph is undoubtedly an influential person within the local community, and beyond having recently been awarded as Further Education Lecturer of the Year 2022 on The One Show on BBC One, today joins me to discuss their non-binary identity. Hello there, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thanks, Stephen. How are you?
All right, thank you. How does that little introduction feel for you?
Oh, it's proper humbling, because I know, obviously, we've knew each other for years, so, like, when you're hearing that, it's just... It's really quite humbling, yeah.
Do you remember when we first met?
Yeah. I think we were about, like, 18, and I think we had every single colour of the rainbow in both of our hair. We were very emo.
Yeah, but do you remember where it was we actually met? Because I do, and I've written it down here.
Are you actually joking? Yeah. You've got a better memory than me.
I remember everything, don't I? We met, yeah, you're really, yeah, we really met good. In art class in Tresham, Kettering, in the evening.
Oh my gosh, do you know what's dead funny? I forgot about that. I remember us doing the evening art class, and do you know what the weirdest thing is? I actually had a teacher, like, who was one of my inspirations going into, like, teaching, and she basically, so my mum was working, like, loads of jobs, and she couldn't, like, have the time to take me to and fro Kettering in the evenings, so this teacher signed up, who was in my school, to the evening art class and would pick me up from my house and take me there and drop me off. And she signed up to the art class so I could actually engage and do that class. How amazing is that?
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and, like, that really inspired me to, like, help other people, because, like, it, you know what I mean? Like, people like that, if they didn't put themselves in that position to help me, you know, with, you know, that kind of thing, I probably wouldn't be where I am. Yeah, I'll never forget her name, actually. She's called Mrs. Brown.
And you know what? I think it's stuff like that that you carry with you in life, isn't it? And I think that's what kind of motivates you to be a better person, doesn't it? When you see other people giving that kindness to you, it kind of encourages you to do the same to others, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. When I was younger, I don't know if you've ever watched it, but there was a film that I remember watching as a kid called Pay It Forward with a little boy from The Sixth Sense. Oh, it's such a good film. If you haven't watched it, it's quite emotional, but it's just about, like, kindness, paying it forward and being, like, kind of creating this kind of reciprocal effect of where, you know, it's an exchange of kindness. So, like, say if someone does something good for you, you pay it forward and do it kind for the next thing, and then... and don't expect anything in return. Yeah. And then if they ask, you know, what do you want? It's not about you receiving anything. It's about them paying it forward. And it creates this kind of reciprocal kind of effect of, like, everyone paying it forward. I remember watching that film anyway as a kid. And I was like, I just want to do that. That's all I want to do, is, like, be kind to people and do good in life. And, like, you know, thankfully I've had, like, a lot of amazing people who've done the same for me. So it's like, you know, I feel like I've got a duty to pay it forward myself in different ways that I can.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? And I think that's the best way of finding community, isn't it? Especially amongst like-minded individuals.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I think it's like, you know, we've talked before, you know, you have all your different, you know, groups when you're growing up. But I think as you get older, you just kind of, the divisions kind of get lifted, and you don't see yourself, you know, as all, in all these different subcultures. Everyone just kind of mixes. Obviously, you do have, like, the different groups and people, but it's just, you know, finding your kind of people that you can gel with and, like, you know, have that open-mindedness, which is, I think, is really important.
Yeah, completely. So, yeah, yeah. Art class was 16 years ago. 16 years ago, half of our lives ago.
That makes me feel so old.
Yeah. I meant what I said at the start of this about your influential era. And I say era, but it's just your kind of influential life, to be honest. But I said similar words back to you in 2021 when you shared your identity with me. And I do recall at the time you telling me that I was the third person that you had told. And so my first question today is, what does it mean to be non-binary?
I think it's quite interesting, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, I a lot of people say the LGBT plus community or the queer community. I just tend to say the queer community. But, like, I find, like, within that community that, you know, non-binary is different depending on each person. So, like, for me, it's not kind of like, identifying as male or female. You're just you. You're a person without labels, because I feel like in society, and, you know, we're labeled by everything for people to understand us. And I feel like, why do we have to have a label for our gender identity or our sexuality? Like, if you are, you know, if you like women and men, why do you have to call yourself bisexual? Why can't you just say you like people? Like, why do we always have to have labels to justify who we are to people? So I'd say that, like, to me, going back to the point, non-binary is just me being me, a person, a human with no kind of gender norms or labels attached to me.
And that's completely understandable as to why you would say that you don't feel that that kind of necessarily fits in right now with the labels of the LGBTQ plus community, because non-binary is what it is. It's not a, well, it's a binary term for non-binary, but it's not a binary term in the way that the other labels are of the community. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say, like, I mean, it goes under the, so, like, when I was, like, kind of trying to find out who I was and what I represented, I obviously wanted to try and understand who I am. And I went online to different, like, trans support groups, and it kind of falls under the trans umbrella, because it means, like, you have the binary, which is, you know, if you're assigned male at birth or assigned female at birth, and you identify as male or female, or you have the kind of the trans male, trans female, whereas non-binary is kind of that grey area where you're like, actually, I'm just me. One day you might be a little bit more, you know, masculine, or you might be a little bit more feminine, but it doesn't even matter, like, whether you're masculine or feminine. It's not about what you look like or what you dress like. It's just you being you without these kind of associations or assumptions that people tend to put on people.
Yeah. So when you say the term trans, and that's referring to, you know, the transgender community, I think it's fair to say that wider society understands transgender as somebody who transitions from the gender that they were assigned with at birth to the gender that they feel is their true identity. And it's I think I'm fair in saying that it's a move from one perceived gender to another. So in what way does, if that's how transgender is understood, but non-binary falls under the trans umbrella, how do we explain that better to people in society? Because to be non-binary isn't, as far as I'm aware, somebody that wants to, well, it might well be actually, transition from one to the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think I've got other friends who are non-binary, and they say sometimes they might feel more towards female or more towards male, and that can change and fluctuate. And, you know, if stereotypically, if you used to, like, look at them, if you was to think about societal norms, like, if the way they dress might be mixed between masculine and female or more male, but it's kind of just like not putting a label towards it. So it's not about how you dress, how you look. So to me, what I'd say, like, non-binary is like the use of pronouns. So rather than using she, her, he, him, you're using they, them, their. So, and again, like, non-binary people, some people are happy to use she, her, or they, them, and he, him. So it's just about kind of talking to the person and saying, what do you feel comfortable with?
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's like, how I see it is, like, I don't see myself as my assigned gender at birth, but I don't see myself as trans male. That's not how I identify. So I would say I'm just me, Steph, and my pronouns are they, them, there. And I think it is hard for people who aren't within the community and outside that, are who are heterosexual, cisgendered people who kind of are looking at people like me and going, oh, I don't understand it. But the best way I describe it is just like, imagine that, you know, stereotypical gender norms wasn't created and we're just people. That's kind of how I see non-binary. You're just who you are. I'm Steph, without having all these assumptions put on me of gender roles and gender norms. And, you know, when you grow up, you're going to want kids, or you're going to want to be a parent and give back, like, all those things that, you know, and you're going to stay at home and be a stay-at-home mum, and, you know, all those kind of things that male and female, and that's been brought up and ingrained into our society since we were younger.
And I think it's important to not just say that it's stereotypical of heterosexual cisgender people to kind of not, I was going to say not understand, but to kind of, well, yeah, to not kind of have that understanding, because actually a lot of people within the LGBTQ plus community also don't currently understand it. They might be a little bit more in tune in the respect of they're in a minority community and they've had that element of, you know, feeling the need or the desire to come out. But actually, yeah, like, society-wide, there's still a lot of learning that we all have to do, don't we? And, like, just reflecting back on what I've said, I've just referred to, you know, as a generalization of transgender as a transition from one gender to the other. But actually, there are a lot of trans people living in society that have certain body parts that are, you know, stereotypically assigned to one gender, but they don't identify as it, or they identify as something else. So it's actually, there was actually a bit of ignorance there in me to say that, wasn't there? But I guess it's just about having that kind of that open conversation and not being afraid to ask questions.
But yeah. And I think, like, I think sometimes, because, you know, and even I've experienced it, people in the LGBT community, they, you know, we're so used to having a lot of negativity or, you know, derogatory comments that you get to a point sometimes where you're sick of having to explain who you are to people. You know, even when I was younger and, you know, just come out as a lesbian, for example, it was horrible. You know, you got all these kind of derogatory terms, people calling you names and, you know, other things, physical harassment, verbal abuse. And you get to a point where you're sick of having to justify and reason with people who don't want to be reasoned with. And I think there's a difference between talking to people who genuinely want to understand or talking to people who are trying to use it as a way to ridicule your sister, like who you are, and put you down. So I think there is a difference. If someone's like genuinely asking and they're trying to understand, I'm more than kind of happy to talk to them and, you know, try and help in a sense educate people, because I think we've got to be open to talking to people, educating people, otherwise people will still have those kind of set views. But I think there is an issue with people feeling like they can ask quite intrusive personal questions, because you're in that category of the queer community. They think that it's justified and it's okay to talk to you in certain ways. You know, like, I've got trans friends where people will say to them, you know, have you had everything done? What surgeries are you getting? Or I'll have questions like to me, like, oh, do you want children? And, you know, would you give birth? And that might not sound personal to some people, but, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people might not want children, but that they're very personal things to be asking.
Yeah. It's such a weird one, isn't it? Like, the way I refer to it is, we don't say to straight people, what was your last sex position you did on a Friday night?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh my god, I'm not even joking you, when I was like a teenager even, I would have like grown men say to me, oh, what, you're a lesbian, how do lesbians have sex, and say these really intrusive questions. And you're thinking, you know, now I'm older, I look back on that, I'm thinking, like, they were adults. That was actually really kind of absolutely not appropriate. And, you know, they would, you know, say things like, I remember when I'd have a girlfriend and people would be like, oh, kiss in front of us, you know, and kind of sexualize and fetish, like having two women in front of them and trying to encourage them to kiss for their gratification. Because, you know, if you think about the porn industry, it's, you know, when you see same-sex couples, often it's for specifically females. It's normally for the male's gaze. That's not really how same-sex lesbians tend to, you know, have romantic relations. But, you know, when these people see that, they just assume, well, that's how you should act, and it should be, you know, it's not about, you know, it's not about that really. But
yeah,
the boundaries are always blurred, though. That's the thing.
It is, and I guess people would say, yeah, but the boundaries are blurred because, you know, you come out and share your identity and you bring gay into the conversation or same-sex relations and you talk about it. And I'm making an assumption here as to how some people can sometimes speak. But actually, like, you should be allowed to share who you are organically and your most authentic, true self without having to give a breakdown of your sexual past, surely.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, think about it this way, right? When, like, it's kind of like, you know, I've seen a lot of Disney kind of new films coming out, and they're like, oh my God, they're trying to represent Buzz Lightyear as gay. The new Little Mermaid, she, you know, Little Mermaid's white, why is she black? And it's like, it's because actually, you know, if you go back to like when I was growing up in the 90s, you would never see anyone other than white cisgendered people. And actually, it's great to get diversity. So, for example, like, you know, people straight away assume that if they look at me, when I was growing up, they'd say, you identify as female and you are straight. So straight away, those assumptions, because of society, are put on us, okay? So then I would have to walk around, and if I didn't kind of speak up and be like, actually, no, I don't identify as female and I'm not interested in males either, you know, people would put those assumptions on us. But for us to validate and be authentically who we are, we do have to speak out, because otherwise we're put into a box already from the moment we're born, from society.
And everyone you know? Loves
and,
a box.
And that's the issue. You are, sorry?
Everyone loves a box.
Yeah, everyone loves a box, Luminette. But like, that's the thing. And then people say, you know, why do we need pride? Why are people speaking about pronouns? Why are people, you know? And it's the thing, like, I've got a friend who's trans male. And if he didn't say, actually, you know, I identify as male, my pronouns are he, him, you know, he would have to walk around every day, wake up, and often does, where people misgender him, and that affects his mental health, his well-being, and invalidates who he is as a person. And why should people who aren't in societal's box feel like they have to stay inside that box to make everybody else feel comfortable because they're not used to a bit of diversity? You know, and that's why I love seeing things like, you know, brilliant, A Black Little Mermaid. And, you know, when you see, for example, the John Lewis advert, the amount of comments that was had when you've seen a family that was from the black community, and people like, oh my God, like, why have they done that? It's crazy. Like, they're just people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all just people, and we should have representation for all different types of communities, not just ones that people feel comfortable with because it fits their needs and meets their needs.
And this is what allows us to understand the kind of experiences in just some small way of anyone who identifies in any way, whether it be race, religion, gender, sexuality, and so on, disability even, you know. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one, isn't it? And I always say that I believe that we shouldn't live in a world that believes that all people are born straight until they come out and say otherwise.
Well, this is a thing, right? I completely agree with that. And it's like, you don't, and this is a thing, people, you know, I've had people say to me, well, people don't come out as straight, or, and I'm like, well, because you don't have to. Like, you actually don't have to. Because it's already assumed that you're straight and you're male or you're female. Like, nobody assumes you're non-binary or you're trans or, you know, or this. And it's just like, you know, it is hard. Like, it takes so much bravery for someone to step outside those norms and be like, you know, actually, I don't identify as this gender, or I don't like the sex I'm supposed to in society's eyes. And not everyone's negative about it. You do get amazing allies, amazing people who support the LGBT plus community, but obviously a lot of negativity comes as well. And with that, you know, support systems need to be implemented to help these people and to help build a foundation. And, you know, the community, that's a really important factor of it.
Do you know what though? Like, you've just said that people say you don't have to come out as straight, and I hear what you're saying there, but actually, like, what about those people that are stereotypically not straight, who are assumed to be anything other than straight, that actually are straight, that do have to come out regularly and say, no, actually, I'm straight?
You've actually got like a proper, an absolute bang on point. So what, for example, my nephews, right, they're really kind of like, when they were growing up, they didn't care, you know, they would wear pink t-shirts, pink jumpers, you know, those kind of things, you know, like colours. How ridiculous is that? We say, you know, you have colours to assume actually pink's mm-hmm. for blue, pink's for girls, blue's for boys. Like recently I bought my niece, who's only 3 months old, a jacket, okay? This jacket was blue and had dinosaurs on it. I thought it was sick. I was like, this is amazing. And then someone said to me, that's a boy's jacket. How has a jacket got a gender? You tell me, how is a jacket got a gender for a baby that's 2 weeks old? I was like, what? Like, that's crazy. Little girls can wear dinosaurs. Little boys can wear blooming unicorns. I think, like, and it's kind of going back to your question again, is, you know, even, you know, you get some, you know, cisgendered males, for example. Like, I've, one of my best friends is a cisgendered male, but because he is, you know, quite very in touch with his emotions, he can speak to women, be, you know, really down to earth, he doesn't care about what he wears, he'd wear pink, he'd wear purple, he'd wear all these different colors, people would assume, you know, naturally he might be a little bit, you know, on the LGBT community side. He's an ally, but he's not gay, but people have assumed he is, simply because he is in touch with his emotions, he's not afraid to talk, he is caring, he is considerate, and alongside that, he, you know, doesn't care what he wears. He will wear any kind of clothing without having that kind of worry about what society thinks.
Yeah. And do you know what? I might sound a little bit biased here, but those are all the characteristics of the best sort of people in the world.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I definitely agree with that, because, like, you know, he, like, my best friend, he might not be, he's not gay, but he is a massive ally. And he is a key example of someone who, you know, when I come out as non-binary, he goes out of his way to try and, you know, be like, understand that, but also try and represent me when I'm not even there. So if I'm not even there, I know he's backed me and be like, you know, when he hears discrimination, he's come home from work before and said, I heard about this. And actually I put him straight and said, actually, we need training in the workplace because we need more understanding of this. And that's what makes a difference. You know, when you get people who are allies don't have to say they're allies because they're practicing it every day, and they're going around and supporting people in the community by advocating change and advocating preventing, you know, not preventing negativity, but they're challenging people with those kind of languages that are hateful or discriminative.
Yeah.
Whereas I have seen people who are like, yeah, I'm allies, and then, you know, you hear them talk about people and you're like, I thought you were an ally, but it's like, it's only when they want to make themselves look good.
Yeah. And, completely.
You know, it's definitely that's not ally.
I think it's just about kind of identifying who those people are in your life that, you know, have your back, behind your back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I think like my mum always said to us, and you know this anyway, because we've always talked about things like having a really strong kind of parent figure. And, you know, I know your mum and my mum are very similar people, where they're strong foundations for both of us. And like, my mum's always said to me, like, the people you surround yourself by, the people that will influence you, will affect your mental health, your well-being. And I think, like, too long I have at times allowed people in my life who probably don't deserve to be in my life as friends. And I think you have to set strict boundaries between trying to educate and be open-minded and be considerate that people need time to learn, and give them time to learn and understand. But then there's a difference between allowing that, but then if it goes on to the point where it affects you as a person and their negative behavior or attitude, then sometimes it is best to kind of set those boundaries and go, actually, no, this isn't good for me. And build yourself a good foundation of strong people who build you up, not bring you down. And I think that's really important in life, no matter who it is.
At what point did you get an inkling that your identity may not have been what it had seemed?
I was around friends, and it's quite interesting because we were having like discussions, and they were all identified as lesbian. But the way they kind of seen their gender, seen their sexuality was completely different to me. And I was sitting there and I remember thinking, like, I don't identify like this. Like, I always felt like when someone called me a lesbian, it kind of, not that I see it as a negative thing, but I think growing up, I got kind of slandered with that term. Like, you know, I would get called lesbian, a dyke. So I always seen it as a negative connotation. So I always see myself as gay, if anything. And again, gay to me is kind of like neutral. So I'd say I'm gay, not a lesbian or anything else. And so, like, when I was around these bunch of girls, you know, they'd like, we were talking, and I was sitting there and I was thinking, this doesn't sit right with me. I feel different to this. Because, and the thing is, like, growing up, as you know, like, we didn't get that kind of education. Even now, you don't get education on gender or sexuality. All it is about a quick chat about heteronormative sex and a quick chat about periods. And even that's not very informational at all. And like, I remember like being, when I was growing up, being like, you have gay, lesbian, bisexual. And that's all I was aware of for a very long time. And it probably wasn't until I watched a film, and I must have been about 15 or 16, and I watched the film Boys Don't Cry. And it was about a trans man who lives in America, Brandon Tina. And it's a true story. And basically, he hid him who he was and was subjected to abuse, all sorts, and was found out. And sadly, he actually got murdered in the end. And it was true life. He actually got murdered. But through the film, you watch all the discrimination, the hate he struggled with and suffered with. And I remember watching that film being like, that's, I kind of identify with a lot of things that he's experiencing, like the body dysmorphia, like, you know, looking at my body, if I seen it getting too curvaceous, it made me feel very stressed. And I didn't care about putting on weight. And even now I'm like that. Like, if I put on weight, it's not about putting on weight. It's about looking too feminine. So it gives me like kind of anxiety around body dysmorphia. So I'll be like, oh, I don't want to look, put weight on because I don't want to look too curvaceous or too female. And, you know, you do get a lot of that. And I was always like, why am I like that? Why, you know, and I started to understand myself more, reflecting back on my childhood, thinking about that film I watched. And then I was like, am I trans? Am I trans male? And I thought, that doesn't sit right with me. I don't want to go through that change. Not that, you know, I just don't see that for me. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, the term non-binary, which has always been around actually, but it's just not as promoted in the media and things like that. And I was like, that's me. Everything that's, you know, these people are talking about, that's how I feel. And it just felt right. I was just like, that is me. And I felt for the first time in a long time, kind of like a weight had been lifted off my chest. Like, I kind of found myself, and it was weird because I felt like I was coming out all over again.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird, and it was like that pressure and that, you know, that feeling of sickness you get where you're like, oh my God, what if people don't, you know, what if they, you know, ridicule me? What if they judge me? What if I lose my friends or family? All those fears that you have when you first come out, I had all those feelings again. And it was really, really weird because I was like, I think maybe 31 at the time.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot to kind of carry, isn't it? And when you were kind of going through this on the inside, were you talking about it with anybody at this point? Or was it all internalized, and was it all Steph talking to Steph?
I think, to be honest, like, I was talking a lot to people, like trans communities online. Mm-hmm. So that really helped. And my partner at the time, they was very understanding, very supportive, and was like, have you ever thought about this? And they're actually more adept and aware of the LGBT, I'd say, plus community than I was at the time, and started to help me understand myself. Because where I live, it's not, you don't have a lot of diversity. It is very, very kind of like, you know, a lot of people, there aren't many people in the LGBT community around where I live. So it's quite hard to find people like me that I can connect with. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel sometimes quite isolated that I don't have people like me to talk to. And, you know, so I kind of found that community online. And then my best friend, I opened up to him, talked to him, and he was like, oh, and you know, he's cisgendered, you know, straight male, but he was like, you know, you've got to be who you are, and you know, no matter what, we'll all love you as long as you're happy. And that just made me feel safe. And I think it's about finding people that make you feel safe and accept and love you no matter what.
Yeah, completely agree. And in terms of like your emotions and in talking to him initially, how did that feel?
Oh my God, I think I was in the kitchen and I said, you've got to turn around. And he was like, oh my God, what's wrong? And I was like, I just can't talk to you. Like, you can't look at me. And I felt like I was 12 years old all over again. Because I used to make my mum do that, turn around when I was embarrassed or scared to tell her something. And I was like, you've got to turn around. Oh. And for quite a few weeks, I just felt so depressed because I felt like I was constantly being labelled as something that I'm not. Mm. And constantly referred to in a way that, you know, I wasn't, and having these gender norms put on me. And I just felt like for so long that I was being kind of crushed, and who I was inside was just being more hidden and pushed back. And then I got to a point where I was in the kitchen and I made my best friend turn around and he said, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "I can't talk to you," you know, and I just started crying. And he was like shocked because I'm not like, I'm an emotional person, but I don't cry ever like that at all. And he was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I'm trans or non-binary and I'm just trying to figure out who I am." And he just gave me a hug and it just made me feel supported and secure. And it was like, even at my age, and you know, I've got so much like so much respect for teenagers nowadays, especially young people that I work with who come out so young, because I wish I was brave enough to do that then. But back then, just being a lesbian or gay or bi was a huge thing, and you know, really kind of you're on dangerous ground just coming out as that. So it was you know, it was always quite difficult, but with people who support you, it makes a huge difference. But yeah,
it actually feels quite emotional to hear you talk about how you revealed your non-binary identity to your friend. And I think that there's just something so important about hearing you share your story, because like with you referencing films that you've watched in the past and how that's helped you, I guess we could say that this conversation today could help somebody else that's struggling with their identity, couldn't it?
Yeah, and I think like genuinely it makes you feel so vulnerable, because when you are opening up about either whether it's your gender or your sexuality, it's like you have the worst feelings in the world. So I remember thinking like, you know, I'm going to be disowned, you know, my mum won't talk to me, my sisters won't love me anymore, like all these stupid things that I know aren't true, because I've got the most supportive family you can ever imagine in the world. But sadly, not everyone has that. And I remember just like, I remember ringing my sister actually, and I texted her being like, "I need to tell you something." For days and days and days, I festered over it, and I physically felt sick. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat properly, I was so scared. And like, I remember her ringing me and being like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I need to talk to you about something, and you know, it's really important." And then I said to her, "You know, I'm non-binary," and she was like, "Oh, is that it?" And I was like, "What do you mean, is that it?" So I spent like absolute weeks, like literally making notes on my phone of how I'm going to talk to her. In fact, I actually sent her a text first, then she rang me and she was like, "Is that it?" And I was like, "What do you mean, is that it?" She was like, "I don't care, whatever you want to be, if you want to be a trans man, if you wanted to be non-binary, whatever, I don't care, Steph, I love you, the girls will love you no matter what." And I literally cried because it made me feel so accepted and so loved, and I think it makes such a difference. And you know, I'm so lucky to have such a supportive family who advocate for me all the time. My mum is amazing, like, and always supported me, always accepted me no matter what. And even she, you know, she's from a different generation, so things like pronouns she struggles with, but you know, she's knew me for like nearly 31 years as, you know, she, her, Steph. And you know, she does try on an active basis and will go, "Oh, sorry, I'll try and correct myself, apologies about that," but I don't even have to do it anymore. And it's taken them time to rewire how they look at me in that kind of sense, but they actively make an effort to try and respect who I am and try and understand who I am. And it does make you feel vulnerable, and it is terrifying. And you know, I do hope, you know, me talking about my experience is and helps other people. And I think one of the biggest things where I thought why I couldn't come out, and this sounds crazy, I know, but because I work in the public sector in education, I thought there is no way I can come out. I can be in a public sector working with students, with parents, with other professionals and all these other people. I'm going to get judged and slandered. And actually, in fact, it's been the complete opposite. The amount of students that I've had come to me who say, you know, me being such a public face where I work and being an LGBT plus ambassador in my work as well now, that it makes them feel safe and makes them feel heard, and that they've got a voice, and that if I can do it, they can do it. And you know, they feel like they can be their authentic self, and it gives them representation to know that people like us do exist and you know, there is a place for us in society.
And that's just so important, isn't it? And like, it's so great to hear how you're using your own personal experience to help other people in that way, because visibility is literally everything.
100%. And like, you know, I feel quite proud, because I never thought in a million years, and honestly to God, if you asked me like a year, 2 years ago, maybe, Steph, will you come on this show and do a talk about non-binary? I'd be like, absolutely not. I'd feel sick. I'd be stressed. I didn't even want to talk about it because it made me feel like so worried and anxious to, you know, but now I've got to a point where I'm like, I am who I am. And as Hayley, like, it's a Hayley Williams quote from Paramore, and you know, we both like her, but I was like, you know, her famous quote, I am who I am with no apologies. And I love that because it's kind of like being like, you know what, I'm me. And I'm proud, and you know, not everyone's going to like who I am. Not everyone's going to accept everything about me, and that's fine. But we can agree to disagree respectfully, and just be who we want to be without, you know, judgment. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, we might not always agree. There's many people in the world who have different belief systems, and that's fine. But there's a difference between not agreeing but being respectful to different identities, or not agreeing but then going out your way to be discriminative or hateful or try and affect people's lives by implementing policy or implementing systems to discriminate individuals. And I think there's a big difference in that. So I'm okay if people want to disagree with my lifestyle, that's fine, but at least be respectful of who I am. And you know, I'll respect you, you respect me, and I think that's important.
Completely. One of my favourite quotes is, you are the change that you wish to see in the world.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think when you do feel like you're a minority, it's really hard, isn't it? Because you want to so badly see people like you in the world, in mainstream media, talking on the TV, you know, giving that visibility. Like when you talk about the Black Little Mermaid and you know, differences and diversities within films and TV and so on. That's what you want to see. And actually, sometimes the only way that we can transition as a society is by being the change that we want to see in the world. And it is by guests like you coming on this podcast and talking about your identity today. And it is by people like me wishing to form a podcast like this, that together we can create good change.
Mm-hmm. By representing, you know, it's important to have representation so young people feel like they can see themselves and actually feel like they are part of the community.
But I think not even just with identity though, of any sort, is it, when it comes to mainstream media? But like, for example, I remember when Frozen came out, the film, and the love that saved her was her sister, and I thought, finally, a Disney film that doesn't end with a boy falling in love with a girl.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what cracked me up was, normally in Disney, they have it like, oh, they meet them, it's perfect, and happily ever after. But obviously, like, she met that guy, and she was like, oh, he's so lovely, he's wonderful. And then obviously the guy she thought, you know, he turned out to be quite an evil guy. And it's kind of teaching lessons that we should always be teaching kids, is like, you know, not everyone you see at first sight, when they portray certain characteristics about themselves, they're not always good people.
Yeah.
Get to know somebody. You know, all those kind of life lessons that should be taught to us. And, you know, that, you know, not all families are nuclear families. Not all children have a dad and a mum. Mm. You know, they might have two mums, or they might have two dads, or they might have a guardian, or their nan might be their parent. You know, it's like parents' evening. I don't call it parents' evening in my work. I call it review night, because, or progress review, because I think not all young people have parents, and I think to assume that is not really acceptable, because, you know, I just feel like we need to use more inclusive language when we're talking about things like that, and not put assumptions on as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
When you look back on your life when you identified as a lesbian.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned earlier on this conversation about how you wished that you were able to come out as non-binary sooner, like many young people do today. And I guess what my question is around that is, you know, did you have the awareness of non-binary back then? And if you did have, you've mentioned that it was, I think you've pretty much said that it was difficult enough to to reveal yourself as gay or a lesbian?
Yeah. I think, like, when I was younger, all I knew was gay, lesbian, bisexual. And then I think maybe when I was about 13, 14, I watched, I think between the ages of 13 to 15, I'd say, I watched the film Boys Don't Cry. So I knew what trans men and trans women were. But I remember like seeing the amount of abuse even I was subjected to for just being a lesbian, and gay people was what they faced. And, you know, even people who are bisexual, you know, it was something that you had to hide. You shouldn't be proud of. You should hide who you are. And, you know, I just remember, and I actually went to, it was quite interesting, I went to a Catholic school, and the things that people did were just awful. It was, it actually got closed down because it was Ofsted graded inadequate, you know, and I was really badly bullied because I got outed. And I initially come out actually as bisexual when I was a kid, but I didn't even come out. Someone outed me. And I remember being spat on, being called a dyke. People would physically abuse me, would think it was appropriate. I think one guy stubbed a cigarette out on me. You know, it was just awful, the abuse you got. And I remember getting a basketball kicked in my face during PE, and I got knocked out by it. And then, you know, the PE teacher didn't even do anything about it. It was awful. So the thought of even ever coming out just as a lesbian and being put through all that, it was terrifying to even think about doing anything else, because it was challenging, it was scary, you know, but it did make me stronger. Like, I'm quite resilient and quite tough now, but no one should have to go through any kind of physical or emotional or verbal abuse to be a strong person. But, you know, sadly that does happen for a lot of people in the LGBT plus community, especially the trans community. I mean, look at the media nowadays, how many, you know, all the policies that are implemented, the kind of, you know, abuse that is being placed on people in the trans community. So even people who are non-binary or trans, you know, when you watch what's going on in the world, it can make people very fearful to come out and be who they want to be.
Yeah.
And that's a sad thing. Nobody should be ashamed or sad or fearful of being themselves. And I just think that the issue is because of a lack of understanding, people fear what they don't know.
Yeah,
You know, when you don't know what something means and you feel like it's going to infringe on your systems or your beliefs, you know, but people need to just remember that they're just people. They're not wanting to go out. And, you know, you get a lot of people who call themselves, you know, you have radical feminists who be like, trans men are taking away our rights. They're not. They just want to be, you know, trans women, sorry, they just want to be themselves. All they want to do is be the woman on the outside they feel on the inside. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're not trying to, you know, take away your rights as a woman. They're not trying to, you know, like a lot of comments, like trying to be, a lot of radical feminists will say trans women are, you know, they're predatory, you know, we need safe spaces for women. And I do agree with that. But at the same time, like, you're assuming that every assigned male at birth who is a trans woman is a predatory person. That's not the case. You have a minority amount of people who probably do commit crimes as such, but you can't tarnish a whole community because of a few actions of people,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And that's sad. It's really sad because I've seen a lot of that, you know, and I think it does get hard when you have to constantly challenge that, but I won't stop doing that. I will keep going until I have to try and spread, make people more aware that people are just people. They're not there to try and harm others. They just want to be themselves, and everyone's got a right to be themselves and be happy.
I completely agree. And what you say today really resonates with my own journey, because as somebody that is non-sporty, creative and a sensitive male, like, I was bullied throughout my school years for my perceived sexuality. And you have labels being pushed upon you that don't necessarily fit with you. And for what benefit? Like, whose benefit does it actually have? And it really saddens me to hear that you talk so openly about, you know, having a cigarette stubbed out on you or a basketball thrown in your face. But actually, I don't know why it saddens me or surprises me, because that's exactly what, you know, it's not too dissimilar to what I've experienced. And we do have to recognise you and I are of the same age and are of the same school year. And we probably have more of an understanding of each other's journeys from those years than most of the people in our local community do, particularly in our friendship group.
And I think 100%.
Thinking about how children are today of that age, so let's take senior school, for example, year 7, year 8. My friend's daughter told me recently that she's the only person in her class that identifies as straight. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And I think identity really is changing amongst children and young people. And I think older generations have got a bit to say on that. But actually, you're sat here on this call today talking about how you're a person for who you are. I know that that definitely resonates with me. And actually, perhaps maybe younger generations are just trying to say, we're just people and we do and act how we want. And these labels don't really have a place. Now, I'm saying that, but labels do have a place because they allow people to kind of find community and come together and have like-minded conversations. And they are so important. But actually, like, I am somebody who really on the inside, I am label-less in that respect. But actually, if somebody wants to label me as bisexual to understand me better, if that makes you understand me better, then that can only be a good thing. And it just kind of goes down to allowing yourself to understand that other people might not necessarily label you in the right way, but actually it's how you label yourself and how you treat yourself and talk about yourself and those in your little support network treat you that actually matter.
I think like one thing you said is quite interesting actually, because I talk to my students, they talk to me a lot about all different topics, and I think it's really good because one of the things they spoke about was like how a lot of adults tend to think that it's a phase, or that, you know, with everyone coming out as non-binary or trans or, you know, bisexual or gay or lesbian. And I said, I think, you know, me and you both know, like you said a minute ago, like, you know, we're 90s kids, you know, different generations though in comparison to teenagers nowadays. And I think when we was growing up, there wasn't that kind of safe open space so much to kind of be who you wanted to be, whereas I think because society is slowly changing and it's more accepting that more and more young people are feeling safe to be who they want to be. And I think genuinely, if it was the way it was now back when we were younger, there'd be a lot more people who would probably identify as people within the LGBT plus community. And I think the reason why there's more young people nowadays saying, oh, I'm bisexual, I'm pansexual, I'm this, or it's because they've got more awareness, more education, more understanding of themselves. It's being spoken about more in media a little bit more, and not always the positive reasons, but still being publicized in some way. So it's making them aware of it. And, you know, you've got social media nowadays. So people have, you know, TikTokers and Instagram people who are spreading awareness about gender identity and sexuality. So, you know, I think kids are so much more in tune with who they are from quite a young age, and they're able to explore themselves more on a deeper understanding and feel more in a safer space to do that. I don't think it's a phase. I don't think it's a trend. I just think they feel they are more aware, and by educating themselves, by being around this, you know, they can't kind of understand who they are. And, you know, even if they do change their minds, so what? Let people be people, let them explore themselves, and, you know, let them find out who they are.
In some ways, like, I don't know how this is going to sound me saying this, but I kind of find, I've said on this call earlier today that I hate the term coming out. Like, I hate it. And I referenced that we don't assume that, or we shouldn't assume that all people are born straight until they come out and say otherwise. But I think that kind of is what frustrates me as somebody that just wants to authentically live his life as himself and doesn't feel this need to kind of say every 5 minutes how I sexually identify. Do you know what I'm saying there? And I think the assumptions that come with that as well. And I didn't really want this conversation to start talking about me, but actually,
it's okay.
But actually, like, I think that if anyone was to listen to this, they could possibly be thinking, oh, I don't know, like, I'm getting wrapped up in my own head here. But like, oh, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, Steph. But
to say how it is,
I think I don't need to wave flags and post a Facebook status and talk on an Instagram live every 5 minutes about who I am. What I need is just to be allowed to be who I am. And I'm actually studying a dissertation, well, a master's degree at the moment, and my dissertation looks into the impact of childhood bullying amongst boys and what impact it has on men in later life.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding from the charity CEOs that I'm speaking to from anti-bullying charities is that for men, for boys that are being bullied, a big factor is perceived sexuality, autism and ADHD, and disability. And if you fall under those perceptions, then you're more likely to have a more difficult time at school. And then the project looks into the difficulties of boys not being invited to conversations about their emotional well-being and not being able to open up a bit more about their journeys and what impact it has on them. And I think that's what people have to remember when it comes to identity or like sharing who you are. And I think what society, and this is the last thing I'll say on me, but what society needs to remember is that you can live your true identity and your most authentic life and be open with your loved ones in your life without shouting it off the rooftops. And that's actually okay.
100%. And oh my God, like literally, I was going to say that's honestly. So someone said to me the other day, like you have some people and this might, you know, some people do see as their, sometimes you come across people anyway, I don't want to come across in a horrible way by saying this, but there's some people who do see their sexuality as their whole identity. And for me, it's like, you know, I used to hate it when people would introduce me as, oh, this is Steph, she's a lesbian.
Oh.
And I used to be like, what? Like, what? And I literally, it would make me furious because I was like, hang on a minute, do I introduce you as, oh, this is, for example, I'm going to make up a name, this is Jo and she's straight. Like, no, like I am not my sexuality. I am not my gender. I'm just me. Yeah. And, you know, going back to what you're saying is like, absolutely. If people want to be private and just have that within their loved ones, within their personal lives, absolutely fine. Not everyone has to, you know, run around and, you know, shout it from the rooftops at all. Like, I think you have to do what you feel comfortable with and no one should make you feel ashamed of that either. Like, if you don't want to go to, you know, Pride or publish things online, you know, you don't have to validate your identity to anyone.
No, you don't.
And you don't have to validate it online on social media. And there is that pressure nowadays to do that. And
there is.
I think you've got to do what you feel comfortable with doing. And if it's like you're saying, just sharing it with your loved ones, your close connections, that's fine. Like, you're allowed your privacy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think people don't actually realize when they are introducing, and I'm going to use the term phobia into conversations, whether it be homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, I don't think they realise. So a bit like what you were saying about being introduced to Steph the lesbian, whenever I would speak about my uncle when I was younger, people would go, is that the gay one? And my uncle is a gay man, but he's the only uncle I've got. And never has it ever been a thing in our family that he's gay. It's never been a thing. Like, I found out when I was 10, and I only found out because his boyfriend of, like, 5 years rang, and he said, love you, bye, on the phone. You know, I never cottoned on that his friend Michael was his boyfriend. I just thought, I don't know, like, it wasn't ever a thing. So when people would say, is that the gay uncle? I would respond, it's the only uncle. Because they didn't actually realise that by making his sexuality a thing within the conversation, that you're actually contributing to separating him from the crowd. And for what reason?
Yeah.
Like, for what actual reason? I don't get it. And, like, I you know, I've mentioned in this call about being bullied for my perceived sexuality, and I was always told from as far back as I can remember that I was gay. And I always used to say, no, I wasn't, because I fancied girls. And so, like, for me, like, you've spoken on this call about you knew about gay and bisexual, but I kind of hear that as a male and from my own experience and think, well, for me, it was really pushed down my throat that you were gay or you were straight and there was no in between. So as somebody that might actually sit on the fence in the middle, it was very, very difficult for me. Because I look back now and I think, I think I suppressed part of my identity, but I never actually realised it. And years back when I did say that I wasn't gay because I fancied girls, there was truth in that because I did. But it wasn't until I was 22 in therapy off the back of what I would now say quite a traumatic breakup. And I was going through a breakdown at the time that this conversation started. And it literally took me, and I am not lying to you when I say this, Steph, it took me 4 years to realize that my identity couldn't be straight and it couldn't be gay because I am attracted to both men and women. Yeah. And what makes it even more complex for me in my journey is the fact that I think it's important that you can recognize that you are attracted to multiple genders, but not necessarily want to be with them. So I sometimes get people going, yeah, but you've never tried to have a boyfriend. And I think, yeah, but that's because I don't actually want one. I'm just out here just trying to just live my truth. And actually, you ram these labels down my throat so much that I'm kind of meeting you halfway by saying, right, well, if you want to call me bi, you can do. But actually, I can't be bothered with any of this. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that's sad at the same time because it makes me sad. I remember actually when we went for a walk. I don't know if you mind me saying this.
Steph, you were the first person that I ever told.
I know, and I remember you saying to me, and do you know what the funny thing was? You said to me something. I remember you saying, I actually remember something. You're impressed because I am terrible with memory. And you were like, did you ever guess? And I was like, well, no, because like that's the thing. Like I don't like look at people and be like, oh, you know when people say, oh, have you got good gaydar? And it's like, there is no such thing. Like, literally, like, I hate it when people ask me that. I think, like, you know, just because a guy might be feminine or might be good at talking to women or this or might dress a certain way or a woman might be masculine or dress more masculine, it doesn't mean they're gay or they're lesbian or they're this or that. Like, how you look and how you appear doesn't define your gender. It doesn't define your sexuality. It's just clothes. It's an appearance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even, you know, when people talk a certain way, whatever. And I think, like, for you to, you know, just be you authentically, like, it's like, you know, when you say to me, oh, this person I like, why can't people just be people? Like, if you just want to say, you know, I'm Steve and I just like, I like people for who they are, not, you know, their genitalia, like, that's fine. Why do you have to go around again? Put yourself in a box just to make people accept your sexuality or understand it. Like, I think pansexual is another term as well, which I've heard, which is where I've had a lot of friends who are pansexual, and that means, I know you know, but just for the, you know, people listening, it, you know, is people who just like people for who they are, not their gender identity. So it's about just the person, and you know, that's fine as well. Me personally, I'm not attracted to men. I like women, so, you know, I wouldn't identify as pansexual, but I can definitely see that. You know, there's times where I look at men, probably more in a kind of gender envy way, where I look at some men and I go, oh my God, he is so attractive. If I was going to be a trans man, I would want to look just like him. And that's, you know, so I can easily look at a man and be like, he's absolutely beautiful. So yeah, but I think, you know, with you, you should just be able to be who you want to be and be attracted to who you want to feel attracted to without having to constantly define that to people and put it in a box. But sadly, you know, like we said that earlier, it's like that is how sometimes society is, and that's how they understand and perceive things, labels again.
Yeah, and it's just how you're perceived all round, isn't it? You know, like when you're a caring man that is perceived as good looking because you've got nice olive skin and beautiful eyes, and people, you know, I'm talking like, people will be rolling their eyes right now thinking, oh, for God's sake, it's so hard, you know, being perceived that way. But actually, there are so many assumptions that come with that. Like, from as far back as I can remember being told that I'm going to be a heartbreaker. It's like, right, but I don't really want to go around and break people's hearts. Like, I can't go to an event or a wedding or anything without somebody going like, oh, he's so good looking, isn't he? Like, why is he on his own? And it's like, well, actually, like... You know what? If you were in my support network of close people, you'd entirely understand. But I don't have to stand here at this event and explain to you.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like my best friend is like, I really don't like dating apps. But that is quite a modern thing nowadays. Like everyone is pretty much online dating. And so we talked about it like a couple of years ago. And I was like to him, why, you know, our club, you obviously know our friend as well. But I was like, why don't you like him? And he was like, because straight away, no matter what anyone says, everybody blooming does this. Like when you see someone, you judge them based on how they look, what they're dressing like, and who, social media online. Yeah. So, you know, my friend, you know, he is, to me, I think he's one of the most handsome men. He's absolute beautiful heart, you know, really well achieved, works really hard, caring, considerate. Like literally, if I was cisgendered, straight, into males, I'd probably be chasing him up a tree and trying to marry him off. He probably wouldn't want me to because I'd drive him mental anyway. But like, you know, but he always gets upset because it's like, you know, people will look at me online and not think I'm this and that and assume and kind of skip me because they're always attracted to that stereotypical of what beauty is. And that's another thing. It's like, it's not even sexuality. It's not even gender. It's also like how we look that people judge us on or assume the kind of person we're going to be, you know. Oh, if you're attractive, that means you're going to be a really great person to be with. Not necessarily. It's very, very handsome and good looking, beautiful people out there who can be arses, to be honest. And like, you know, there are some people that might not stereotypically be on paper what people define as attractive. But actually, they're the most beautiful people inside, and that makes them beautiful all round.
And this is the thing where social media comes into it, isn't it? And Snapchat filter culture.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And that's the issue. And again, it's like, you know, why just be yourself? I think that's the most important thing. Is, you know, if, you know, people aren't attracted to you, they're not the right people for you. If your friends aren't accepting of who you are, they're not the right friends for you. If your family, you know, ridicules you or tells you you can't be who you are, again, you've got to set boundaries. Even if it's with family, friends, loved ones, boundaries are healthy, boundaries are important, and your mental space and your well-being needs to be prioritized above all else, and surround yourself by a healthy, good foundation to build yourself up on, not build yourself, like, not fall down upon.
Yeah. We've taken the conversation off on a bit of a tangent some way, Steph, and that was my fault, so I do apologise.
I know, but we always do this when we chat.
We do this.
We literally could talk about everything. This is the issue. We need about 24 hours to talk about these things.
So, like, literally. If we go back to speaking about your identity, what reactions, experiences, or feelings do you experience when introducing yourself to others with your pronouns?
Do you know what's really weird? I think going back to like labels earlier, like I tend to not, but it, the first time this year when I introduced myself to my group, I did purposefully, and that was the first time I've ever done it this year, going back to work this year. And there's many reasons why, because I work with a lot of students who are trans and who are non-binary, and by representing and being like, hi, I'm Steph, I'm your teacher, put my name on the board, and then just put my pronouns underneath, and then just say, oh, I'm Steph, they, they're, them. If you've got specific pronouns, I'm going to have a one-to-one tutorial with you, and you can talk to me, and I'll make sure I can, you know, put that in your group profile and, you know, respect who you are. But I think sometimes it's hard. I think it's about feeling safe as well, because there is situations where I have, even, you know, current times where I've not felt safe to be like, my pronouns are they, them. And that's sad because I'm 32 years old, and there is situations where I have avoided that because I think this isn't a safe situation to be who I am. And you have to be kind of, and that's sad that you have to be cautious like that, because, you know, when you, you know, expose yourself, or, you know, even people who are trans men, trans women. I had a friend, and sadly she got chased and was attacked for being trans female a couple months ago, and she told me, and it's just horrific because they identified her as being trans. And, you know, it's so dangerous to out someone again who's trans. And one thing I would say is, like, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but when people out people who are trans women or trans men, that's something you absolutely should not do, whether you are in the LGBT community or not.
Yeah.
Like, it's for that person to say that they are trans, not for you, even if you're an ally or you are in that community.
Yeah.
I think it's that person's choice. So for me, like, that's why I'm like, I kind of evaluate the situation and then just be like, oh, I'm Steph. And then if they use she, her pronouns, I'll be like, oh, it's they, them. I'm non-binary, and then that'll be it normally. But you know, on the offhand, you do get kind of like backhanded comments, or you know, I've had a lot of stupid things before, heard you know, quite negative things, and then you just deal with it if that comes to it.
Yeah,
Steve, we talk forever when we get to chat, and I tell you, it's hilarious.
I know, and I hope you don't mind me mentioning a bit about my own journey, but I just felt like I relate, and I think it's potentially quite useful to a listener to hear how I relate in some way, despite the fact that our identities are different.
Do you know what, though? I think it's important because, like, when you're talking about your identity, some people might identify with me as a non-binary person,
yeah,
and some people might identify with you as someone who, you know, fluctuates between, you know, just being who you want to be and liking who you want to like sexually without having to define it all the time. And I think it's actually really healthy, as you know, and really positive for you who identifies as a male to be able to do that, because I think, so especially, you know, men, you know, talking about your kind of mind podcast is about men's mental health awareness. Sadly, the amount of men that commit suicide is massive, as you know as well. You know, the rates are crazy, and you know, a few months ago, unrelated, it's not to do with LGBT plus stuff, but you know, sadly I lost a friend to suicide. And I think things like this can help prevent that, especially for young men, to be like, you talking about your experience, they'll hear you and go, oh my God, it's okay for me as a guy to, you know, like men, or to like men and women, or just people in general.
Or and to I think just talk about what's on your mind.
or just to talk about your emotions, or to feel like actually men are just people, and you don't have to, as you know, they would say years ago, man up, which I actually hate.
Yeah,
when I hate that saying, it's such an awful term. You know, men are just people, and you're allowed to like who you like, you're allowed to talk about your emotions. So I think for you to talk about your experiences is absolutely relevant.
And I've always had this like deep passion to kind of represent or advocate for, or you know, take on this responsibility to help change the world. I know that sounds really dramatic, but I've always have. And I feel like, I think you probably feel the same a lot. But
yeah,
there was a point years ago in therapy where my therapist did actually say to me that it isn't my responsibility. And I took that on ever since. And I thought, I need to remember that it is not my responsibility. And actually, I don't need to feel this pressure to help change people's views at the detriment of my own mental health when I'm going through a lot of transitional stuff as it is. And I think perhaps maybe the openness of my conversations nowadays is a reflection of how I am sitting more comfortably with myself than I have done ever before. But I will sit and say that it's literally from my own doing in therapy. It's not because I've seen that demonstrated in the wider world by men that are fluid. That's probably the easiest way to identify my sexuality. But yeah, I think you are right. It is kind of useful to incorporate your own experiences into conversations like this.
It just allows more representation, doesn't it? And if you can share that, and you've, you know, your journey, and it shows strength for the like people listening, is like, you know, the fact that you've gone through this journey, got through the other side to the point where you're, you know, years ago, if you even said, you said to me, Steph, this is what I'll be doing. I'll be talking on a podcast and doing all this. I'm like, absolutely not. There's no way. I can't see you doing that.
I know. What, talking about me?
Yeah. And like, about just your experience in yourself. And like, that just shows what strength and, you know, what you've gone through to build yourself up, to get the confidence in, you know, being yourself and being happy with who you are. And I think it takes a lot to talk about that. And, you know, genuinely, you should be so proud of yourself and where you've got to. And it hopefully will show other men that it's okay. And, you know, just keep working on themselves and doing the positive steps that can help them, you know, get to that place of acceptance.
Oh, thank you very, very much. And my therapist would say that would be down to all of the hard work that I do. But I would like to actually reflect that statement back to yourself, because that is just true for you. Like, you live your most authentic, true self in every way possible. And I said at the start of this conversation that you are a very influential person, and you are. And when you shared with me your identity in May 2021 at our friend's 30th birthday, I said that to you, like, people look at you in the local community as somebody to really respect and value and resonate with and to almost live their lives through, because you literally, Steph, you do what you want and you do it so, gracefully is the wrong word, but you do it with such dignity and such intent, and you are, like, you live your truth, and I hope you believe that.
I just try and always be myself and respectful, and I just find it really humbling when hearing that, it just truly means a lot. And I just don't know what to say to things like that, because when you get compliments and you're like, oh, I don't know what to say. I just feel like, honestly, it makes me feel so humbled. Like, I had a student actually, I got a Christmas card. It was really funny because in my team, we always they always mess around with me, because I always get nice comments from the students and stuff, and they're like, oh, here we go again, you know, Steph's loved by another student, you know, and I'm like, oh, do one, everyone. So I didn't even teach this student, but I know them for association because I've supported them with LGBT plus matters as the ambassador in my work. And we've had quite a good amount of conversations about different matters, about, you know, speaking up when someone uses things that you're not comfortable with, or, you know, trying to be your authentic self and things like that. And, you know, I think it's really important. And so I got a Christmas card from them, and I'm saying I'm not an emotional person, but I am, but I just don't, I'm not emotional physically where I cry or anything like that. And I got this Christmas card off them, and I read it, and it was just, and I'm not saying this to hype myself up whatsoever, but I'm just saying this because it just absolutely touched my heart and made me realise why I do what I do in my job. And it said, you know, you've been such a role model to me and an inspiration, and you've helped me so much and been a rock for me being who I am. And I literally just started crying, and I was like, and everyone was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, it's just so beautiful. Because it just meant so much to me that for me, I never think what I do is a big thing. I just try my best to help people or be myself or live my life. And I just think, you've got one life, live it every day and make it count. I mean, some days I don't, because I sit and watch Netflix and eat crap food, but again, to me, that's my day and I'm happy with that. But I just try and be myself, and it, along the way, if I've touched people's lives in those kind of ways, it just just means the world to me. And that absolutely made my day the other day, reading that. And then when the BBC One show aired with the Pearson National Teaching Award, another lecturer come up to me and pulled me aside, and I thought, oh God, what have I done? And they said, Steph, I just want to talk to you about something. I want you to know something that one of my mature students have said to me. And I was like, what? And they said that one of my students who is non-binary got quite emotional. And I was like, oh my God, what are they okay? Like, what can I do? And they said, because they've seen you, your one show interview on the news, and it touched their heart to make them feel that there's a place for them in this world with you being a non-binary teacher and it being so public and out there. And I'll be honest, I was terrified about that when it was airing and all that, because I was thinking, oh my God. But when I heard that, it validated me in the sense of being like, this is why I do what I do, and I'll keep doing it against any negativity, any kind of battles I come across, because if I can pave the way for young people like them to feel safe, to feel included, to feel represented, I'll just keep doing it. And it just made me so emotional, those things. So it does really make me humbled, because I don't look at myself in a certain way and be like, oh, you know, look at all the great things I'm doing. I just try my best to be authentic, you know, and I think, you know, I think that's important. And if I can help others as well, then I'll just keep doing it.
Yeah. So Further Education Lecturer of the Year 2022 on the One Show on the BBC. Well bloody done.
I know, it's wild, isn't it?
And
honestly.
You've mentioned how you felt about going on the TV, and specifically around your identity there, it sounded. Mm-hmm, Talk me through that.
Well, it's dead nerve-wracking, isn't it? Because I remember, like, being, like, to my best friend, I was like, oh, my God, like, it's nerving because, I mean, they didn't make it explicit, like, Steph is non-binary, this, that, and the other, but it was, like, obviously they used my pronouns correctly, and even when people, they were interviewing them, they used their pronoun, that my students obviously used my pronouns, they, them, their, and I love them for that. I think that was really respectful, and even the way the BBC handled it, you know, they talked to me about these things, they wanted to respect my identity, but what I loved about it was they didn't have to go and shout it from the rooftops. They just made it quite a natural interview where they didn't have to be like, oh, Steph is non-binary. I mean, obviously in the articles and things like that, it does say I'm an LGBT ambassador, a non-binary teacher, but I really liked how they didn't have to put those labels on me in the interview, and they just kind of made it a normalized thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was really good about that interview. And like, I was super nervous about it, Erin, because obviously like social media, you obviously get certain minorities that will say certain, sometimes they might be negative or say certain things about people who represent as non-binary or trans or anything like that. So I was nervous, I was anxious about it, but now that it's kind of aired, it's been published, like it's all been really positive, and like it really kind of affirmed my identity and made me feel kind of really happy about kind of just being so public about just being who I am authentically. But leading up to it, I was so anxious. I didn't know, like, I had no idea I'd actually won or anything like that, but I knew that they were planning to come interview me and things like that, and they were like, oh yeah, it's just going to be aired and there's going to be 5 million people watching, and I was like, I feel like I'm going to be sick right now. Like, oh my God.
Can I ask how much of the anxiety was because you were going on the television versus because you were going on the television as a non-binary person?
Oh gosh, I think about, like, I think I hate having cameras in my face anyway, and I hate any kind of, like, obviously I'm super grateful and humbled to, like, represent the Corby community and Tresham College, but like to have cameras on me and to be like, it's a lot of pressure, isn't it? Like, yeah. Because you're not only representing your community, you're representing your college, you're representing your students, you're representing your team. And I was like, oh my God, like, I hate all of this. I just want to get the cameras out of my face.
Yeah.
And I'm quite, like, a little bit like you, you know me, I am quite a private person. I don't really like to shout about things I'm doing. I obviously have Instagram and I'll post things about skating or whatever, but, you know, nobody knew that I was a skateboard coach except from people in my work. And you know, recently I got to con Adrenaline's board of directors, and no one knew about that until recently, and I've been on it for months. Like, you know, I'm quite private about things. I don't really like to shout about things I'm doing. I just like to do work behind closed doors, do the positive things, crack on with it, and just do my job to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
So knowing all those things were going to go on TV, I was just like, oh God, I hope people don't think like it's showboating or anything like that, because I don't do things to get a pat on the back. I do it because I want to, and because it's just who I am as a person. I want to try and make change and do good for people, you know?
Yeah, completely. So going back to the Christmas card that you received that made you totes emosh.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise to me whatsoever that a student would write that in a card to you, but I appreciate why that took you off guard. That is kind of, I think, a lot of the reason why you were the first person that I opened up to about my own identity back in October 2013, it was.
And that's what.
Yeah, I know. It was. We had Halloween the night before, didn't we? And we were hungover and we went for a walk to East Carlton Park. And
when were we young enough to drink?
Yeah, when were we young enough? We were 23. We were 23, weren't we?
Yeah, 23 babies back then.
Yeah, I remember you being the first person that I shared with me what was going on, and the response was just exactly what I would have expected from you. And I think The reason why I told you is because you felt like a safe space to talk about, because you are a very open-minded and accepting person. And you also are somebody that doesn't identify as straight. So I knew that you would be able to understand on some level. However, there are some people that are gay who I didn't opt to talking about that I knew wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't really say that, because that's actually painting a bad picture now.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of negative connotations around bisexuality, I would say particularly amongst men. But I think also amongst gay men, because there is that whole, you know, gay people saying we're born this way without choice, mm-hmm. whereas bisexuality can actually muddy that messaging a bit. And I actually think that there could be a narrative that non-binary identities potentially muddy that as well. And I hope you don't mind me saying that. I'm just trying to talk very openly about the potential kind of inequalities amongst the wider community that we would experience.
Yeah.
So I'm going off on a bit of a tangent there, but you were a safe person for me to talk to, and you were a great person for me to talk to. And the second person that I told, I believe, was Aaron. Uh-huh. And his response was that I wasn't gay. And I remember being drunk and being quite frustrated, thinking, that's not what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And the third person was my mum. She simply said, what's the problem with that? And I remember thinking, what a great thing to say to me as my parent. And that's just, I'm sharing that because I think it helps. It could potentially help other people that haven't had that conversation, should they want to, about how potentially it is well received, that you can experience something that other people might not necessarily know you're going through, and they don't make a big deal of it. And you mentioned earlier on this call, and you said that, you know, your memory's really good, and that I asked you, did you guess? And I've got to admit, I sit there with a bit of discomfort about me asking that question, because I think, oh God, I was hungover and blah, 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 and this and that. But actually, like, I think I don't necessarily know whether I would ask it as outrightly as that. But I think perhaps maybe in the year leading up to talking to you about that, perhaps maybe I dropped a few hints along the way. And that's why I was asking, you know, is this something that you were aware of that I was going to speak to you about? Because actually, when I look back on my life prior to that, an issue that I feel I had was people always telling me, you're gay, you're going to end up gay, and you just don't know it yet. So when I had the kind of the prospect of talking to people about opening up about being attracted to both men and women, and or maybe whether I was questioning that at all, I often had this fear that people would go, oh yeah, I always knew that about you, or oh yeah, I was always waiting for this. And it's just so, it's unfair, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I just think, like, how can anyone know something about you when you don't even know yourself at that point?
Exactly.
No one can tell you who you are.
Exactly.
Like, it's crazy.
And you know, when people define love, I've heard it over the years where people go, finding love is about finding somebody that knows you better than you know yourself. And that's I'm really uncomfortable about that statement, because I think nobody can know you better than you know yourself. And if you feel that you don't know yourself very well, please try and find out.
It's so true. And I think, like, when you find someone, and, you know, I think it's about finding someone who accepts every part of who you are.
Yes.
So I think you have to find yourself. My mum always said to me, you've got to find yourself before you find somebody else, because if you haven't found yourself, who you truly are, you tend to find people and it's not going to be as authentic of a relationship, because you don't know where who you are yet. So it's important to find yourself before you be with somebody else, because when you find who you truly are, and then when you meet somebody, you're in a really good place to then bring that person into your life. So my mom's always said that to me, find yourself before you find somebody else, because otherwise you might even be trying to compensate in getting that person to fill the gaps in your life that aren't filled because you haven't found them yet in yourself.
It's such a hard one, isn't it? Because it's actually that whole narrative of, learning to love yourself to find somebody else that loves you.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge that we all a challenge that we all have. But I guess the best way to kind of invite the like-minded and open people into your life is just by being that and projecting it. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? Just allowing yourself to be open to explore new things and enjoy them and be okay with that. But actually, I think people look at, I'm not meaning to big me and you up here, but people look at people like us that we do show that braveness and we do show that authenticity to be who we really are. And I think we both underestimate that in ourselves. And actually, people can look up to us and think, well, if they can do it, I can too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's like going back to that quote you said about trying to be the change. I think sometimes like through action and just through living our authentic lives, we're making change and representing without having to, you know, do anything about it, but just being present, you know, just being active in everyday life. And I think it's just, yeah, I think that definitely makes sense to me. And it's important to have those kind of people. And it's just weird, actually. I just find it dead weird because, like, the thought of, like, anyone, like, being like, oh, I mean, I kind of see myself sometimes a little bit like an adult child, because if you go into my room, it's like a 15-year-old teenager's room with, like, Toy Story everywhere and Marvel and all these crazy things. And that's me being authentic to myself. I'm just always quite creative, quite weird, quite, well, people would not say weird, but creative weird. That's how I kind of say it. And I just think, like, rather than try to fit in everyone else's societal boxes, like, it's kind of like we've talked about this before, that when you get to a certain age, there's an expectation that you should have a house, be married, have children, settle down. And that's absolutely fine for people if they want to do that. But not everyone in their 30s wants to do that. Everybody else's happiness looks different to other people. And just because someone's not married, doesn't have kids, doesn't have a bought house yet, or doesn't live in a house, it, you know, you might live in a caravan or a motorhome or whatever, but it doesn't mean you're unhappy.
Yeah.
Everyone's happiness is defined differently. And I think too many times in society, whether it's gender, identity, sexuality, lifestyles, everyone feels like there's only one set way about it, but there's not. There's a multitude of ways. And I just think people need to be a little bit more open-minded and understanding that everyone's just different and we're all just different people and not one shoe fits all.
That's right. Well, Steph, I've absolutely loved speaking to you today.
Likewise, Stephen, always.
So you've given your first top tip just then, but if you were to give two other top tips about how a person can navigate around understanding or exploring their identity, what two tips would you give to them?
I think my top tips is surround yourself by positive, supportive people who encourage you, who are advocates of you, because I think that really is important. You know, I always talk about foundation, but, you know, a supportive network of people are a foundation that you can build your house upon. You know, so try and avoid, you know, being around negativity or people that bring you down, because I think when you start exploring your identity or who you are, if you have people that are negative or try to bring you down, it will make you retract and prevent you from exploring those different avenues of yourself. So a supportive network of people, a good foundation of friends. And the second thing is, oh, it's interesting. When you actually start thinking about it, you're like, what would I advise young Steph or young Stephen or just young people in general? Like, so definitely supportive network. Second thing is just don't be afraid to be who you are. So I think going back to the quote I said earlier is always have in your head, I am who I am with no apologies. And don't be afraid to be who you are, whether that is gay, straight, bi, pansexual, trans woman, trans man, non-binary, whatever you define yourself as, be authentic in who you are and don't feel like you have to get validation from external people to validate who you are. You know who you are better than anyone else. And if you don't, then get on that journey to find yourself. And you're always going to have one person or another person who might have a positive or a negative opinion about it. But try and avoid having opinions to affect your decisions in life and let the inner voice of you be the main voice that you listen to.